LibroFM lets you purchase audiobooks directly from your favorite local bookstore. Choose from more than 150,000 audiobooks, including New York Times bestsellers and recommendations from booksellers around the country. With LibroFM, you'll get the same audiobooks at the same price as the largest audiobook company out there. You know what one we're talking about, but you'll be part of a much different story, one that supports community.
If you're new to audiobooks, they're the perfect way to get more books into your busy life. Listen while doing chores, walking the dog, or just relaxing at home. All you need is a smartphone and the free LibroFM app.
If you already love audiobooks and don't know what to listen to next, check out recommendations and curated lists from the people who know audiobooks best, local booksellers.
Listeners of the Bookstore Podcast can get a 2-month audiobook membership for the price of 1 month.
Go to Libro.fm, that's LIBRO.FM, and enter bookstore at checkout. With each listen, take pride in knowing that you're supporting local bookstores.
Welcome to the bookstore.
It's like a book club, but we actually read the book.
I'm Becca.
And I am Corinne.
This week, we are bringing you an interview with Marcy and Akko, who are the hosts of the Colored Pages Book Club podcast. Colored Pages is a bi-weekly podcast in the style of a book club where they discuss books from various genres like fiction, fantasy, and magical realism, all by authors from colorful backgrounds. We had a really good time talking to Marcy and Akko. So I hope you enjoy this interview as well.
Yeah, we spoke to them a couple of weeks ago. I guess we'll just fade away into the interview. Okay.
Today we have special guests Marcy and Akko from the Colored Pages Book Club podcast. Hi, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having us. Yes. Oh my gosh, like we're excited.
So can you tell us just like a short little introduction to your podcast?
So Akko, should we use our little, you know, fiction, fantasy, magical realism thing that we usually do, or?
Oh, I love it. Let's do it.
Okay, wonderful. So whenever we start an episode on our show, we usually say, yeah, so the Colored Pages Book Club is a bi-weekly podcast that talks about fiction, fantasy, and magical realism written by writers from colorful backgrounds.
Yeah.
So we essentially choose a book a month, and we kind of have this focus on representation and highlighting authors of color, LGBTQ authors, you know, just folks of different and, you know, diverse experiences, and highlighting fiction that they've written. So we kind of use that as a way to talk about the books, but also just a way to like talk about our own personal lives, broader issues in society. It's like a social commentary plus just like the tomfoolery of like just two friends catching up. That's kind of like the energy it's giving you.
Yeah. So. And I think our hope, the reason we say like colorful backgrounds and instead of we're kind of like, diversity is a weird word because me and Marcy aren't diverse to ourselves. We're just alive.
Exactly.
And mm-hmm. So we were kind of like, okay, well, how do we change that around? And we're like, okay, colorful backgrounds, that's fun. That's not marginalized. It's not anything. It's just colorful. Maybe we're hiding the ball a little bit, but yeah, that's our hope with the podcast is sort of to, one, talk about literature as a way to explore imagination, because we think that there's something powerful about imagination. There's something powerful about being able to project your existence into one that's just so different from the one that you have. It's powerful for empathy, but it's also powerful for like making the world a different place. And
oof.
We also like didn't want, and this is really Marcy's, I think, philosophy that I really love, is that this stuff shouldn't be so academic and so far off. Like reading shouldn't be something that only some people are able to do, and literature shouldn't be something that only some right. people are able to enjoy. Like it's relatable, it's human, and we wanted to break that down too. And then our third thing, I think, and Marcy can be like, that's actually not our plan, but is to say that like POCs can have conversations with each other without the lens of whiteness in the middle, right? Like we can be mm-hmm. black kids who read about, you know, Southeast Asian culture and have a take on it and understanding, and vice versa. And we hoped to sort of, I think all of it is about, in a way, changing who's centered. So that other people can see themselves as not side characters, but main characters in their own lives.
Oof, Akko, that was, okay, you know what? listen to what Akko just said. that was everything. Yes, that. So
it was beautiful. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, of course, you know, we've been listening to your podcast, and that's something that we've talked about too, is you both have such a good rapport with each other and your dynamic, and just make it really fun too. Like with what you were saying, it doesn't necessarily have to be academic, and that's something that it just feels like, you know, you just bring a lot of joy to your discussions.
Oh, thanks.
Thank you. That's like literally the highest compliment. Thank you.
Tagging onto that in a way, I guess, what is your background with reading? Like, are you, I mean, you're not obviously just coming to literature because you have such a good relationship with it. So what is your background with reading and literature in general?
Akko, you can go first.
I was going to go back to when we met in college. Me and Marcy, we talk about this on our podcast, but there was literally a moment when me and Marcy met on orientation day of college.
Oh, that's adorable.
Yeah. You know what's more adorable? We both had purple Converse on. That's what's crazy.
Oh my gosh.
It's true.
Oh my gosh.
That's literally the start of a 10-year friendship, was like we had the same shoes. But
yeah. Pretty much.
And liked anime. But then Marcy just at some point just goes, you know, I've really gotten back into reading lately. And I like sat there for a second, and I feel like there was a moment where I was like, gotten back into reading. Does that make sense to me? And I was like, it does. Because you can like be off of reading and then all of a sudden get back into it. And I was like, I'm back into reading too. But yeah, I do think that like I've always loved reading. I think when I was a kid, my sister used to read Calvin and Hobbes to me before I could read. So I've always loved it. But I think... Yeah, I think I've always loved reading. I'm actually going to say that that's a fact. That's true. I think I've taken a solace in it. I used to like hide out in the library when I like was in a school that I didn't love and read all day. Oh, what it was is my brother had to, he needed to reach some like volunteering requirement and he'd put it off to the last minute. So we'd spend like 6 hours volunteering at the library. And I was like, I don't care for society. I'm 13 and the world's kind of racist. So I would just like sit in the corner of the library and like read book after book after book. And I loved it. I felt such a solace, and then I felt it could go anywhere. But yeah.
Mm. No, that's real. It's interesting that you asked that question, because so growing up, I read, but it didn't necessarily feel customizable until my adult life. Mm. Like a lot of what I read was sort of like, you know, in school that we had like the reading challenges and whatever. And they'd be like, okay, here's a list of books. And off this list, you can pick a couple, but here is like you will likely stay on this list of books, right? And so it didn't feel like I had as much of a choice, I guess, in what I read. And so while I did enjoy it, it was like, it felt a little fickle. Like it was like, there would just be some books where I was like, oh my God, I love this. Like I remember I was like really into A Series of Unfortunate Events and like Junie B. Jones. And I was like, oh my God, these are like everything. Right? And then there were other titles where I was like, wow, we had to read this for class. And yeah, not feeling it. Not my cup of tea at all. And so I think, yeah, with reading, it was interesting. Because yeah, like around that time, yeah, going to college, like it was funny. It's funny that happened at the very beginning of college. Because yeah, like that summer before college, I was like, you know, starting to explore more like queer literature and like being a bit more intentional about like the narratives that I wanted to consume. And then I went to college and I was like, oh, wow, we have so much work to do. Oh, my God, we have so many articles to read. So I like stopped reading, honestly, like for pleasure until I would say, yeah, around the time I graduated in like 2015. I like lived in D.C. at the time, and I was just like always at the library. Like they like knew me by face. They knew me by name. Like I was always like, hey, girl, like just picking up some books. Like I was always reading something. And it was interesting because I think around that time, a lot of my close friends as well, like kind of got back into reading. So it was sort of like this collective thing. Mm. And then, I mean, once we started the podcast, it was like, I mean, I'm just like always reading. So I've always enjoyed it, but I feel like now is like probably the most exciting time I've you know, as far as like, I guess, being a reader and someone that, you know, reads stories and stuff like that.
Yeah, Becca and I were both English majors, so I think like for us it felt, I don't know, like kind of natural, like we were going back to a place where we were like in school and stuff. So it's just, it's really nice to hear like other people, you know, I think that's really normal to like our life and people we were surrounded by for a long time. So I always like hearing about how other people came to it. When did you guys start the podcast?
It's like literally a year and a half.
Year and a half. Okay.
Literally a year and a half ago. Yeah.
You've been at it for a little while. Do you think, how do you feel like it's changed, like the way you're experiencing your reading and sharing it with each other and like with a wider audience?
Ooh, I love that question.
Yeah, me
a
too.
Lot. So any sort of project, you know, not a podcast specifically, I feel like those beginning, you know, those first couple of episodes, the first time you do something, it's very much like, oh, what are we doing? You know, it's just kind of like you sit down and you record it. You're like, okay. So like, I think it's interesting because I would say our cadence and like our energy has been, I would say, good from the beginning. You know, I think as far as like our dynamic, there wasn't necessarily a lot to figure out just because like I've known Akko for like we've known each other for so long that it's like, I mean, that rapport was already there. But as far as like, you know, like our segments, it's a little different because, for example, at the very beginning of our show, we would, you know, just give a plot summary and then we would go into the discussion. And to this day, they're both relatively free form, especially the discussion portion. But like we started doing this thing where Akko will like ask a question at the beginning of the episode. And like, I don't know, I have no idea when we started doing that. I think it was like kind of early on, but it was just a way for us to just kind of like check in with each other, but rather than just being like, oh hey, like what's going on, it was like, so I have a question and let's talk about it. And I feel like things like that have just been like kind of like an interesting sort of texture to the show. It feels a lot more established. Like I'm just like, okay, I feel like I get on the mic, we know what we're doing, we like in a way it allows me at least to like really relax in a way that I feel like at first I felt like I needed to kind of like do a thing, and now I'm like, we have what, like almost 50 episodes? Like, I'm like, I mean, y'all, I mean, listen, we are, this is the we're same. Like, y'all know what to expect at this point. Yeah. So, I'm just here to have a good time and just chill and kiki and just, you know, do whatever. So,
yeah, I think you're right. There's something more relaxed now. I think we are always quite relaxed, but there's something familiar about it. And I think one of the biggest I mean, again, me and Marcy were always friends, but to do this together, this kind of, I guess, intellectual exercise, this conversation over and over again, you know, twice a month, it expands your friendship in a way you probably didn't see happening, or at least I didn't see happening at the beginning. And to do it with books, I think I've said on the podcast, or maybe just to Marcy, I don't know, they kind of melt together, but
fair.
that you know, you explore something and then you wonder, if I'm alone in this, am I the only one who thinks this way? And then there is a conversation you're having with the book itself. But then to talk to a friend about it, the same book, you know, it's to have this connection is to be like, how did you feel about this thought I'm having? For the person to be like, I also had that thought, or here's my thought. There's something, I don't know, warm about it, and there's a closeness that you get from discussing things that way. And I feel like I find ourselves referencing books and our conversations have nothing to the podcast. Like I'll be like,
oh yeah,
it's really feel like a small beauty situation, and you're like, oh yeah, of course this would be a small, you know, like there's just like almost, I don't know, there's a language to be had between us. Sharing it with a larger audience, I feel like that has been interesting in the sense that I like the joy that people get from it. Maybe that's what my biggest takeaway is. When people are like, I love this podcast, this makes me happy, I'm like, oh, thank God. I really just thought we were just saying nonsense until.
One thing that I always love hearing about is how people pick the books that they read, whether it be, you know, with you and the podcast, like how you choose for the podcast, and also just like in your normal reading life, because I think for us that was definitely one of the reasons we started the podcast, is because we wanted to be more intentional, because we were looking at our bookshelves and they looked pretty, you know, homogenous. And then also kind of, you know, do you both enjoy different genres, or do you kind of like the same types of books usually?
I feel like our picking process, at least for the podcast, is literally me and Marcy sit down and like go through Google and like scourge the Goodreads, the NPR list, anything to look for books. And then we have a conversation of like, okay, is this varied enough? Like, did we talk enough about, you know, Indigenous voices, Black voices, Southeast Asian, Asian voices? Like, are we favoring one category or another? Is there anything we're missing? Like, did we get enough queer voices in? Did we get different types of queer voices in? So it's not like a beautiful process. But it is an intentional one. It's a beautiful mess, perhaps. Or maybe Marcy will disagree, but
oh no.
there's a lot of Goodreads reviews, and we're like, oh, that people seem to like it. And we're like, well, maybe if they, you know. I've forgotten the second half of the question.
Oh, the genres.
You know, Marcy, I feel like the more we do this podcast, the more we realize that we actually have different genre preferences.
Mm-hmm.
Can you share a little about that?
Well, I think I like high fantasy a lot. And I like things that are like, if the story doesn't have like a definitive plot, I think I have more leeway. And I think, Marcy, you like magical realism. You like a little bit more grounded in the actuality of existence.
I would say that tracks. Yeah. I can play with high fantasy like the rest of them.
Of course.
I think as far as like, just like my preference, yeah, just something that's I like magical elements. I like, you know, maybe like I'm not sure if surrealism is the right word, but like just, yeah, something that's a little more grounded, but like, you know, there's just like fantasy bits. But like when it's just like like a whole lot of world building and like everything is super different and it's just like a whole, like sometimes I think I struggle in those kind of settings just because I'm like, okay, what is happening? Oh my God. So yeah, I think that sometimes it can be tricky, but it's funny because with, so as far as like, yeah, like picking the books and things like that, I mean, definitely agree with Akko. It's a lot of Goodreads, a lot of Googling. I do follow a couple of BookTubers who sometimes I'll check out their recommendations and just kind of like be like, okay, let me look further into these. In particular, there's a BookTuber by the name of Jesse. Their YouTube name is Bowties and Books. And so they're like a really great, I just love their reviews of books and like how they talk about them and like how they talk about representation and stuff like that. We just have a lot of like very similar priorities when it comes to picking narrative. So their content's really, really good. The Artisan Geek is really good. Books Are My Social Life is also really great. So yeah, just BookTube is like great. And as far as genres, actually, I feel like with the podcast, especially with this, I don't know what to like. I don't know what to, like, to call it like a season, but like I guess whatever like thing we're doing right now, like the books that we're currently reading, I definitely want to kind of explore different genres. And I feel like the podcast has been a really fun way of doing that, like exploring like more thrillers and mysteries.
That's true.
And just, you know, like romance, like, you know, these types of, because I feel like my history is more so just reading like almost maybe more slice of life fiction, and I feel like this is a good opportunity to kind of explore like, yeah, just different things. But I definitely want to get into like mystery and like horror. We actually read so I saw that y'all recently actually read something by Stephen Graham Jones as well.
Yes.
I think Ooh. It was the Only Good Indians, I yeah. think was what y'all read.
Yep.
We read Mapping the Interior, which we thought was horror, so we were like, oh girl, we're reading horror. And then we were like, oh, this actually isn't horror. It's like a really beautiful exploration that just has like eerie elements. So horror is still, you know, still want to do that in the future, but yes.
Yeah, I think Marcy too is really good at exactly that, choosing a wide variety of genres and sort of being able to really get into them. You know, like I didn't even think to explore horror, and then Marcy was like, what if we read horror? And I was like, yikes.
But and I like suddenly had like a mustache that I was twirling like with a monocle, and it's like, okay, when did you change costumes? But anyway,
so I guess maybe with that in mind, do you want to move into some recommendations?
Ooh, yes.
Ooh, fun.
Do you have a recommendation for something that you think really captures the spirit of your podcast? So something you've read for the podcast before that you think is a great place for people to start?
Oh, that is
a hard question.
Like a particular book that, do you mean, I guess, like what happens in the book is sort of characteristic of like our spirit on the podcast, or how we talked about it?
Yeah, probably
captures the spirit.
Probably how you talked about it. Do you like something, maybe, okay, maybe we'll put it this way. Maybe something that you think like had a lot of great potential for like conversation between the two of you.
Okay.
Okay.
So I wanted to cheat and just say the episode that we literally just recorded, but
right,
that's not, we have so many other ones to reference.
Well, you could still do that, because let's see, when's this coming out, Becca? So this
the week of Thanksgiving.
Oh, that
okay,
works
well,
then.
Yeah, so we actually just recorded, we just read The Black of the Berry by Wallace Thurman. And we just, so yeah, so we break up our books into two parts. So we just did our, I guess, part two portion of that. And I feel like that discussion was really honest. And I think it kind of blended a lot of our sort of just like elements of like our personal lives. But actually, funny enough, now that I'm thinking about it, a while back, so this was around the time closer to when we started, it was like our first, so we call them like summer short series. Like over the summer, we like read shorter like stories and graphic novels, just like shorter works, just to kind of like, you know, like read something different, but also on the low, just like kind of take a break from reading. And we actually read Drinking Coffee Elsewhere by ZZ Packer. It's like the short story. And that, like, to this day is like, I think really captures our podcast in that it's a lot more like, it's like fun. We like do, you know, we analyze the book, analyze the story and all of that. But I think it's a very personal episode. Like, we just talk a lot about our own personal experiences in a way that I feel like just really kind of captures like what we're trying to do with the show. Like I'll still go back and be like, this episode, I don't know what we're doing on this day, but it just
it's
something hit. Like this episode just really, it really stands out to me in that way. And I think also too, just that short story, you know, it talks about this like young Black woman in school. She's going to like a predominantly white university. She's exploring her sexuality. It's a lot. It has a lot of elements that I think for the both of us, we just could really relate to. And so I was kind of like, okay, this is powerful. So yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that's a good one. I was going to say, I was also wanted to do The Black or the Berry, but another one I think is...
Sorry.
Why?
I didn't mean to be like, oh, this one, oh, and this one. Yeah, you know, still options.
No, I think those two are really good. And then the other ones, I was going to say Himele Ahilo with Rika Aoki, because I remember reading that and just the back and forth. There's this whole thing about one of the characters in her restaurant and she's trying to get this chicken and me and Marcy are cackling the whole time. Do you remember? And we are like...
Yes.
And it's so cute and funny. But I also remember talking to the author, Rika Aoki, and I remember after doing that episode, calling Marcy and being like, we should keep doing this podcast. Like, this is why we want to do this. Talking to her and hearing these different voices. Yeah, I think that episode really, read it. It's a good, read it, listen to it, and then read it, I guess. Do both at the same time. I think that's, and then I think the summer shorts, if you just listen to any of the summer short episodes, they're actually, I think those encapsulate us. It's so funny because we decided to do that whole season thing on a whim, but I think it encapsulates us so well. It's just like we have this one with the cartographer bees and the wasps, in which me and Marcy just like go off on this like these anarchist bees and this like wasp nest, and it's just I don't know, I feel like they're the perfect mixture of joy but also analysis. So
another recommendation, what would be something that you would say is so good that everyone should read it?
And this can be anything. Doesn't have to be something from your podcast.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ooh, no. So good. Yep. That everyone should read it.
So for me, so I've actually talked about this on the podcast. Shout out to anyone who knows what episode that was, because I don't. But there's a book called A Little Life by Hanya Yanagihara that, like, to this day, that book, like, actually changed my life. It, you know, just not spoiling anything, but basically it just follows this group of these four young men just through time and like kind of their relationship with one another and like just like them going into their careers and all of that. They all live in New York City, and I read that at a very particular time in my life where like there's just like a lot going on, and there was a love story that evolved in that story, in that book, that I was like, I think I like literally believe in love again. Like it actually, like I remember I would be reading it like on the train and just like weeping into the pages as if I didn't have to return it to the DC Public Library in like 2 weeks. Like I'm literally just crying. I'm like, this book is so just so beautiful. And I was like, this book is, I mean, I read that like at this point it was probably, I mean, closer to maybe maybe like 2 years ago, closer to that, maybe even more. And to this day, I'm like, wow, that book is magic. Yeah. So that's always my like foundational, like this really informed me as a person type of book that I definitely go to.
I think you may have just like convinced me to actually read it, because most of the reviews that I hear of it are like, this book ruined my life. So I start reading it like, just in that, you know, like it's very heartbreaking. And so like sometimes I'll start reading it and I'm like, I don't know if I'm prepared for this. So
yeah, I actually did start reading it at the beginning of the pandemic, and I was like, I love the writing and the tone and the style, but emotionally, I don't know if I can handle it. So yeah, you have inspired me too.
With the pandemic, it might hit a little bit different. So just you know, I read this during the before time, so you know, it was a little different. But it's just it's one. I mean, as y'all know, it's a very long book, but just yeah, like the amount of time you give at the characters, I'm just like, I feel like it's. Yeah, I would love to hear your thoughts on it if y'all get the chance to read it, because I have thoughts.
And Akko, how about you?
It's just so interesting that you mentioned A Little Life, because I distinctly remember the moment that Marcy came into my apartment, because we used to like travel back and forth for the podcast, and he was like, I have just read this book and I have been in tears on the bus. And I was like, oh no, do I gotta fight this book? What are we gonna do? And he was like, I'm just so deeply moved. And I think we had like a whole long conversation about it too.
Yeah.
It was really beautiful. I think probably the book I go to when I need to sort of reimagine my existence is probably Sister Outsider by Audre Lorde, which I guess is just a collection of her books.
Yeah.
I think it also changed my life. I think I was reading it and I found that she said things in a way that so touched on the things I felt. But like, you know when people say it better than you? Like you're like, yes, that thing that person said. That's what I meant. And what if
rewinding to the very beginning of the interview when you responded to that first question, literally me. I was like, yep, what Aqua said. Cut my part out. Just say what she said.
And I think there's something I love it because in those pages, you especially to be Black in America, especially at this time, the way she articulates things, you think, oh, I can do this. I can get through this, and not just get through it, but I can enjoy living, because she so thoroughly explains issues, but then also solutions to issues, which I'm like, oh, yes, solutions. But I mean, all of them are like existential solutions, but I love an existential solution, so why not?
Come on.
So yeah, I really love Sister Outsider. Another one that is really good that I read in college that fucked me up, but in a good way, was Never Let Me Go.
Oh yeah.
Oh God, yeah.
Just because there's something, and the movie too. The movie will fuck you up just as much as the book. But but I think what's so it's beautifully written, but also it's so poignantly. You think, oh well, this is about. So that's why their lives. Oh my God, that's a spoiler. Spoiler, it's about. but then you get to the end and you realize, no, it's about us. It's about humans. And it's so well done that it the melancholy of it breaks your heart, but in a way makes you realize just how little time. That to me is such an impressive science fiction or magical realism, I guess. I guess it's a mad. I don't know. It's not like high science fiction, like no one's in space, but that's what the genre does, right? It forces you to look at your own humanity, and I think the book does that well.
I guess I've only read two books by Ishiguro, but this summer we read The Buried Giant by him, and he's just so good and like very quiet, but yes. Like also can do those kind of genre elements in just like such an incredible way. It's he's very good.
Yeah. Oh, I guess Toni Morrison, right? That's where Toni Morrison stands. Our bad.
Yes, we're disrespecting the queen. Oh my God.
Yeah. We always sort of think that one goes without saying, but yeah.
Yeah. It's just implied Toni Morrison was one of the responses as well. Yeah. So.
How about anything that you think is like a little under the radar that maybe you want to lift up and make sure people catch?
So I actually want to, I guess, reference one of the books on the podcast. Yeah. We read Small Beauty by Jiaqing Wilson-Yang.
I knew it. That's exactly what I was going to say. Continue.
Okay. Yep. Okay. Yes. I feel like I really want to lift that book up because it is just, so it's essentially, again, not spoiling anything. It explores essentially a young trans woman like navigating grief after her cousin's death, and it is just like such a, like the way it is written, it's one, it's short, and it's, but it's like the way words are put together, just the way it's written, it's just so beautiful. It almost like doubles as poetry. It's just like such a, like it's like melancholic, but like just it's just so beautiful. And also, so we have this like running gag on Color Pages Book Club where like, so like the main character May has a dog named Hazel, who was like
the
aggressive epitome of like literally a side character to the highest, like literally like an adjacent character at best. But I like love Hazel so much. Like I love that dog so much, and I just. Yeah, we just like keep mentioning Hazel just throughout the show. It was just like, yeah, like, you know, when we were reading the, like with Black of the Berry, it's like, yeah, you know, at one point Hazel just walked down the street of Harlem, and it's like that literally didn't happen, but I guess we're just going to keep referencing this dog from this book. But yeah, so I definitely would say, yeah, Small Beauty is definitely a book that I think more people should read. It is like, it is absolutely incredible. So
it is.
Yeah.
And I was actually thinking about it the other day because there's a line in it. One of the characters is talking to May, and she's like, the world's not going to stop being awful, you know? which it sounds depressing. I understand. But I she was saying it in a way that was like, what will you do with your life anyway? And I think 2020 has been such a hard year and there's been so much stuff to face. And there's a point where you're just like, the world's awful and so I'm giving up. And you're like, okay, well, let me just check that pulse. Oh, still, that's still going. So now that you've done that, what are you going to do next? And you're like, twiddle thumbs. Well, I don't want to think about that. And that line in the book came to my mind again. And I was like, yeah, I don't know. So I do think that book is worth reading. Yeah, and it's beautifully written, much like Toni Morrison. What, another Toni Morrison reference? There you go, kids.
So the season of where a lot of people give gifts is coming up. So I was also kind of wondering, is there a book that you love giving as a gift?
I really like this question. Okay, so I'll preface by saying I've never given this book as a gift, but I would very much give this book as a gift.
That's fine. We can just pretend.
So I would certainly give as a gift White Teeth by Zadie Smith. I know that book has, it can be a little divisive, but essentially it's like, it's again, it's kind of like a slice of life fiction novel that like follows these like two families through time and like their like relationship to one another in like the most vague of ways. That book is hilarious. I remember I read that while I was in DC and I would literally just like open mouth be cackling reading that book. Like it was just so funny. Like the, I don't know, just like the narration, like the narrator is like, you know, not present, but is like super shady and like responds to like everything
I'm
the characters
dead.
Do. And it's like constantly like low key, like just talk so much smack about them. And I like love that energy. It's just a very like irreverent, fun book. So I would definitely for, you know, like a little bit of a lighter read. I mean, it was a while ago, so I'm not sure if there were more serious elements to the book, but I just, yeah, I remember the books, like the characters were just so funny that I was like, yeah, this, anyone, y'all should read this. It's just, it's just so silly. So
I kind of want to read it. I only give comics as gifts, I noticed. Which is, I guess, kind of odd, but it's fine.
That's fun.
Yeah, I feel like I love comics so much, but I feel like one that I love to give people is Calvin and Hobbes. I know I referenced it earlier, but and the reason is it's that book, those books, those comics, they just like translate through. I was reading the other day, I was like, this made like 1991, like, but somehow his antics and his the relationship with Hobbes, I don't know, I can't explain it. There's something so fundamentally adorable about it, but also makes you think. And I think Bill Wallace is someone I'd actually sit down and have coffee with, like, because I just think the way he writes and the time he takes in the characters and in the drawings is so special that it creates this, I don't know, like people are like, it's Calvin Hobbes, not that serious, but sometimes it is, like sometimes it is, like sometimes the way he makes the panels and the way his art, like there's this whole side plot like episode where Calvin is a detective and he does this whole like noir genre in the 6-year-old's mind. It's adorable, but then he'll also have these ones about death and about adventure and about life and living it. And there's a poignancy. I talk a lot about the economy of words, and I'm just gonna say that there is a really his economy of words plus the way he matches it with pictures is so effective and brilliant that, I don't know, I like to give it to people. Plus, it just makes them happy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, I love Calvin and Hobbes also. I think my favorite is when Calvin gets turned into Hobbes, or he looks like him. So it's a little teeny Hobbes tiger, and it's so cute.
Wait, that's actually so cute.
They were some of like the first books that I really like sat down to read. I would read them before I went to bed when I was in like third or fourth grade. So there is never not going to be a time where I don't think of those very fondly. That's such a good idea for a gift too, because I can't imagine anyone not being just like super charmed by it immediately.
Did they come in the form of books?
Yeah.
Like put like compiled together as books? Oh wow. I thought they were always just like independent, like I always just saw them in newspapers, like just like these kind of like one-off strips.
Oh yeah, it's pretty much like the strips that are in the newspaper, but they're like all put into a big collection in a book, and there's like I don't even know how many volumes there are, but I used to get them at like the Riff fairs at school.
Yes, the Scholastic whatever.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Gotta love a book fair. Was always so hype. I could not wait.
I know.
And it's so interesting because print comics have kind of gone the way of the dinosaurs. There's like a thriving life of comics and web comics. But yeah. That sort of Sunday strip, you know, we don't read the newspaper, so it's not really a Sunday strip anymore.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But it's just so interesting because the way he'll talk, if you get an anthology where he like writes down his analysis of everything, you're actually like, oh, wow, this guy really thought about this like 3-panel page. But you notice that there was like an art to comic writing, and there was an art to the fact that like, oh, sometimes they chop a certain amount off. So if I want to say something, I have to get it. Honestly, it's a little bit like a Vine clip, but for paper. Is that true?
Huh. Okay, Vine.
Maybe Vine's already antiquated. It's a little bit like a TikTok without the music. What are
okay,
you old?
People should know what Vine is. Come on. Anyway. The youth have to know what Vine is, right?
I don't know.
Oh, I don't know. Didn't they get rid of it in like 2013 or no? It was definitely after that.
I was just listening to something, and they were talking about someone who was a Vine star that's now a TikTok star, and they're like, she's 19 years old, and I was like, how old was she when Vine was out? I'm very confused by
that's
time.
Oh my God.
Now.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Also, Vine like. I remember when I first started to get into that, like I would literally just spend like hours scroll. Like I could not get enough. It was everything, which is funny because like TikTok is like literally that, but there's just, I don't know, maybe it's just like I'm older now. Like I'm just like, oh, social media. I'm trying to like reduce screen time. Like I don't know. I'm trying to like not get sucked into the vortex, but yeah.
Oh, it's, you know, very hard for me to suppress. There was this one TikTok recently because that's all I do anymore is just watch TikTok. It's embarrassing, but also very comforting during these trying times.
Come on.
So I think kind of winding down, but are there any episodes or books that you guys are reading coming up that you're like especially excited about? What's on the slate?
So you said this episode comes out in you said Thanksgiving?
Yes.
I guess by the time this episode comes out, this episode won't be out yet, so I guess it's still current.
Yeah.
So the next book that we're reading is called When the Moon Was Ours by Anna Marie McLemore. And it's like kind of like a YA like love story, with like magical realism elements, like, you know, roses coming out of people's skin and people like painting moons in the sky. Like just like it's a book that low-key, I don't know why we haven't read it yet, honestly, because like I was like from the beginning, I was like, we have to read this book, and somehow just it never really revisited it until now. So I'm very, very excited to talk about that. Granted, I'm like a little nervous because I feel like, you know, when you go into a book and you like overhype it, like sometimes it can disappoint you. So I'm hoping it doesn't, but that's definitely a book that I'm like cannot wait to talk about.
Yeah, I think that I'm also looking forward to When the Moon Was Ours, which is great because it's literally the next book we're going to read. But speaking about horror and goth, reading this book called Mexican Gothic, I think later in the spring.
Yes.
By Silvia Moreno Garcia, and I'm excited because, like I said, you know, I don't always get into horror, but ever since we started, I've kind of been more into it. So I'm excited to see how that goes. I like the creepy, you know, like Hot Topic-esque situation we're about to find. the emo kid in me is excited. But anyway, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I think it'll be good.
It's been great talking with you guys today. For one thing, I haven't talked to anybody I don't know in about 8 months. So beautiful. Love.
Oh my God.
Love meeting you.
Yeah.
That's real. That is very real. Yeah. Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah. This is super fun.
Where can our listeners find you online to follow you?
Yes. So there are a few different channels. So we have a Twitter at The Colored Pages, and we have an Instagram at These Colored Pages. Our website is kind of like, I guess, yeah, like our sort of main base. And that's at thesecoloredpages.com. And we have an email address at thesecoloredpages@gmail.com. Pretty much everything is these colored pages, except for our Twitter, which we need to change to These Colored Pages. And we've been saying this for literally months. We'll do it one day.
Yes.
But yeah, that's usually the best ways that people can reach out.
Wonderful.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Again, thank you for being with us. This was a lot of fun.
Of course.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much.
This
was great. It's yeah. Thank you so much for just giving us this opportunity.
Bookstore.
If you'd like to support the podcast beyond listening, you can check out our Patreon at patreon.com/thebookstore or rate and review us on Apple Podcasts.
Thank you again to Marcy and Akko of the Colored Pages podcast. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review them as well, and get even more book podcasts in your life. Aside from that, you can find all of the ways to contact us. Our email, our social media, and our phone line are at thebookstorepodcast.com.
Our next book discussion will be The Murder at the Vicarage by Agatha Christie. You can find it at your local bookstore or library and read along with us.
The Bookstore is a production of Awkwardly Social Media, produced by Becky Young and Corinne Keener. Technical and production support is provided by Josh Bourdon and Zach Titus.
And John, if you're out there, thanks for listening.
See you next Tuesday. Bye.
Bye.